making the same material is not a challenge, but actually assembling that material in a battery. You take the material, you mix it with the binder, and so which binder, how much of the binder should you put, how thick you make the electrode, what is the slurry, how do you make the slurry, how you calendaring, then the electrolyte, how much do you use, what's the purity of the electrolyte, from which company have you used it, have you purified it, have you dried it, and so all these things, they make in the end batteries and electrocatalysis be very variable, because there are so many different components.
Hello, and welcome to Never Lick the Spoon, the podcast from the Institute for Molecular Science and Engineering from Imperial College London. I'm Isabella von Holstein, and in this series, I'm going to continue to bring you stories from the teeny tiny world of molecules and how they're being used to solve some of the big challenges facing our planet. This week, I've been talking to a team of battery scientists at Imperial who are building a robotic laboratory called Digibat. This will automate research into materials for energy storage, that's batteries, and materials for energy generation, which is electrocatalysis. It's not just about discovering new materials. It's also about testing the many, many combinations of those materials that would make the best device.
My name is Magda Titirich, and I'm a chair in sustainable energy materials in the Department of Chemical Engineering at Imperial College London. And I also have a Royal Academy of Engineering chair in emerging technologies. My research is trying to implement more sustainable choices, in particular materials, in renewable technologies, and try to make these new emerging technologies as clean as possible. And what I mean by clean is in terms of CO2 emissions, but also other environmental impacts.
So when people say, oh, we're moving away from fossil fuels towards lithium-ion batteries, and then they say, oh, but they're not clean, you know, you're trying to solve that problem.
Yes, exactly. So in particular, I'm trying to work in the area of batteries. Lithium-ion batteries, they're a great discovery, and they have a very well-deserved Nobel Prize, and they revolutionized the way we are moving towards net zero with electrical cars. But we need to understand that this is a technology that was commercialized in the 90s, and until today, 2023, is the only commercial technologies for rechargeable batteries, well, except of course the lead acid and the nickel metal hydrides, but those are for other type of lower energy density applications. So I think it's very important that we diversify the battery market and move towards more sustainable choices, towards technologies where we actually have the raw materials available here locally, in Europe ideally. That would be sodium, for example. This would be ketus, could be potassium as well, potassium ion batteries. It could also be a combination of sodium and sulfur, or a combination of potassium and sulfur. It could also be maybe further down the line calcium or aluminium, all these metals that are widely available here.
And now you've been awarded funding. So £1.6 million to build this facility called Digibat. How is Digibat going to help exactly?
So Digibat will help enormously. So Digibat is a strategic equipment that's supposed to be a national facility where people from all around the country will come and use it once it's up and running. Basically, Digibat will have four platforms. One material synthesis platform, one battery synthesis platform, one electrocatalysis manufacturing and testing platform, and one AI data managing platform.
So how do you go about setting up a robotic laboratory? And what kind of background do you need to do this work?
I'm Jing Yufeng. I'm a facility manager for Digibat project at the Imperial College. My PhD was focused on the electrocatalysis for the pores, carbons, and material synthesized at Imperial College Department of Chemical Engineering. My postdoc is for the batteries. So it's different, but they also align in the energy storage energy conversion field. When we assemble the batteries, we need to first get some materials synthesized. And then we need to move this material to the concept of batteries and to make electrode. And then after making electrode, we move it into another equipment to assemble this thing together. So this is a flow. So you want to design one thing, one equipment here, synthesize here, and the electrode here, and then finally the batteries on the other side. You don't want to mess up the orders. Otherwise, in the future, if you really want it to be automatic, then you redo the labs. It's better to spend more time at the design stage. So once we know which lab we're going to be, I will go into the lab to see how big it is and what's the shape of the lab. And also, I need to know the gas lines and cables. Do they have enough cables and power our device? And then based on that, I will create a floor plan and then build this like a fume hood. That probably will take another half year and then wait for the platform equipment arriving.
Can you give me some more details about exactly what each individual platform is going to do?
The first platform is a material manufacturing platform in high throughput. So we will be able to produce about 100 materials per day. And the unique thing is that we'll be able to make these materials in high throughput at high temperature, which is something very neat. And nothing like this is available at the moment in the UK. Being able to produce materials at high temperature means energy materials. And so that can be anything from carbon materials. They are used mostly as anodes in batteries and also as supports for catalysts in fuel cells and electrolyzers, to various metal oxides that are super useful also in batteries and catalysts. This is where the usefulness of the second and third platform comes. So we're going to make all these energy materials, but then fine, how are we going to test them? So the second platform has the ability to directly take these materials produced and automatically assemble them into coin cells to test their suitability either as an electrode or as a solid electrolyte in batteries. Platform 2 will be able to make 100 coin cells a day with these synthesized materials in high throughput, and it will be connected to a high throughput analyzer where you could get quite a lot of data.
And here's the voice of experience talking.
So last year, I assembled like 70 coin cells in one day. That's actually a lot of work, and it's very exhausted day. I think in one day, I probably maybe more faster than machine, but in 1 week, the machine can beat me. Then after I synthesized this 70 coin cell, half of them, so 35 of them was failed. Why? Because if you didn't line up the electrode together very well, because you use your hand to line up these things, makes like less reproducible. A robotic doing this, and this is the future. This is the future of the research for the battery, at least, and definitely for the electrocatalysis.
And electrocatalysis is what Platform 3 is all about.
Platform 3 looks more at applications in conversion rather than storage. So, for example, turning water into hydrogen, turning CO2 into fuels, or turning nitrogen into ammonia. So in order to do this and convert these abundant molecules into useful energy vectors, you need catalysts. The materials that would be made with Platform 1 will then be tested in high throughput as catalysts with Platform 3. And so the Platform 4 in DigiBot is the one that will be able to take all this data from all this testing in batteries or in electrocatalysts. We'll also be able to receive input from external data, such as characterization that we would be doing for the best performing systems, but also life cycle assessment data, for example. And then with the help of machine learning and optimized algorithms that we would also develop in DigiBot, we'll be able to, you know, identify the most promising performing materials to optimize even further the performance of all this material. I think more than the acceleration in actually making the coin cells, the acceleration is further in how you process the data, because the student would process each data individual, but with the help of AI and machine learning, we can process this data via software, so there will be additional acceleration there.
Will you only be working on making new batteries, or will you be working with recycling batteries too?
We don't really have much recycling facilities for batteries, almost none in the UK. Again, Digibot will help with that, because Digibot wants to work closely with all these recycling companies, not to do recycling as such, but to get their so-called black mass.
Black mass?
Black mass is basically you take a battery, you shred it apart, you leach out all the valuable materials out of it, and that's how you get this black mass, which contains some carbon and contains some leached metals. Sometimes doesn't even contain the carbon. People are mostly looking at just using the most valuable components from a battery at the moment. But I guess with the battery passport coming in place, we really need to go beyond the value and have incentives to recycle everything.
The battery passport refers to recent new EU regulations setting up a more circular economy for batteries and battery waste. By 2027, batteries will have mandatory minimum levels of recycled content. This sets a strong incentive for the development of methods to recycle waste battery materials. As Magda explains, this isn't new for other types of batteries.
We do it today with lead acid. Lead acid is a very good example of how everything gets recycled and reused in that battery. So hopefully Digibot can help with the regeneration from the black mass to a new cathode, regeneration of the anode as well, which is now not really used, potentially recovering the electrolyte as well, which at the moment is not done, and testing all these components again into a new battery.
So how many Digibats does the world need?
I actually think that the new way of working would be that everyone should have a Digibat in their lab. This is a very nice way to standardize, finally, all this battery research and to make sure that all the results that we get are reproducible. Of course, it's very unrealistic view because it's probably not feasible, but I think it opens up a new way of working using robotics and leave the people to think about more challenging fundamental questions rather than mixing components together. Is the analyzing the data and thinking of, you know, how can you solve challenges and answer research questions and for make further, you know, discoveries and improvements. And if robots could do the hard work in a very systematic way, then it frees up space for people to think more.
Thank you to Magda Titirici and Jingyu Feng for talking to me about Digibat. I'm looking forward to seeing it in operation in a year or so. I found this research really exciting, not just because it's seeking to solve some very real problems, making batteries with more abundant materials, making better batteries, making battery recycling more thorough, but also because it's a real example of a robot, actually a suite of robots, improving work quality, not just getting more done more cheaply. It's actually saving the interesting work for a human, because the robots are doing the repetitive and fiddly bits. Do you agree? Share your thoughts with us on Twitter at @imperial_imsi or email us at imsi@imperial.ac.uk. Until next time, take care. And remember, never lick the spoon.